Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, which is the greeting of peace. Peace be unto you and Ramadan. Five pillars of Islam, submission to the will of God. One is that you worship none but the creator of the heavens and the earth and not his creation. And you accept Muhammad is the last and final messenger sent to mankind, which includes Jesus, Moses, Abraham. They all came with the same message. Worship the creator, not his creation. And then you agree to pray five times a day, not 6, 5, 4, 3 or none, but five times a day minimum. You connect with your creator because you love him. He loves you. He's given you everything that you have. And at the end, you get Jannah, paradise, and you avoid the hellfire. Ramadan, that's one of the pillars, along with giving the poor due tax and Hajj. Once in your lifetime, if you're physically, financially able, we're going to be talking about Ramadan because it's Ramadan time. And some of you are new to Islam and you want to know how you can do it in the best way. What are the details of Ramadan, because you don't want it to pass by and you miss out on all the blessings and the rewards. So we'll be right back with my next guest from the TV show. Let's talk about it. Sheikh Abdul Karim Zaid here on The Deen Show. We'll be right back.
This is The Deen Show. This is the Deen, the Deen Show.
This is the Deen Show. This is the Deen Show.
This is the Deen, the Deen Show.
This is the Deen Show. This is the Deen Show.
This is the Deen, the Deen Show.
This is the Deen Show.
And welcome back to The Deen Show. We're here with Sheikh Karim. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be with you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Peace be with you.
Thank you for finding time to be with us.
Jazakallahu khairan. I'm very happy to be with you.
How's your program going? Let's talk about it. People know you from there. Let's talk about it. What's all that about?
Well, it's really a show about question and answer, where people call in with their questions and I try to answer, and if I don't know, I tell them I don't know.
Educating the people.
Yes.
And that's what we're doing today.
Yeah.
You heard me open the show, Ramadan.
Yes.
It's here.
Yes.
And Muslims get excited about it. So there are a lot of people, new Muslims, old Muslims, that might have come back to practicing their deen, this way of life from the Creator. Mm-hmm. And now we want to do things right. We want to do things the right way so we can get all the reward from this blessed month. Tell us a little bit about Ramadan. Why it's so special?
Well, Ramadan is an annual, I would say, training camp for the soul.
For the soul?
Yes. That you get a handle of yourself once again. In a way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sets the stage for you. He chains the shayateen, and the masajid are filled with people who pray. People are fasting. The spirit of obedience is out there, so that you have no excuse. And the incentive is so motivating. Imagine the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He basically indicated three golden opportunities. Man sama Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaba. If you observe the fasting of Ramadan, but with these two restrictions, imanan, that you believe that you're a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you're not doing it because I'm strong, I'm able to do it. Rather, my creator, my Lord, mandated this upon me, and I'm his servant, and I love it. And I'm going to say to him, sami'na wa ata'na. I hear and I obey my Lord. Iman, it's a pillar of Islam, it's mandatory, and I'm submitting to my Lord, and I know it's all good for me whenever I submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wahtisaban, and also seeking the reward of fasting. You cannot imagine the amount of reward that you get out of fasting, and maybe we'll shed some light on this. But with those two restrictions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all your previous sins. Mm-hmm. That is one. Two, من قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. Whosoever observes قيام, ليها صلاة التراويح, the salah that we pray after Isha, again, إيمانا واحتسابا. We explain those two with the first
say one. Say those in English now again.
إيمانا, believing.
Believing.
احتسابا, seeking, wanting the reward.
Believing in your Creator and wanting the reward
wanting
from, strictly
the reward
from Him.
For that. Don't say I'm fasting because I want to be healthy. Don't say I'm fasting because I'm strong enough.
I'm dieting, losing weight.
Nah, no. Even so, our scholars, when they defined fasting in the technical terms, they said abstaining from eating and drinking and all other things which will invalidate your fast, look at the restriction with the intention of the worship of Allah.
But if you get all these benefits, because we're seeing a modern trend, you'll see many personal trainers and people who are in the fitness world, and they are recommending to fast. They're recommending that, you know, this has such great physical benefit, health benefits. But along the side, we're not doing it for that. But if we get those benefits, hey, we're going to double.
Absolutely. But that's how we work for Allah, yeah. And we get the dunya.
And we get that in the car. Yeah.
We work with Allah and we get the benefits.
We get the benefits because we trust Him. Yes. Tell us this, Shaykh. Tell us before we go into the do's and don'ts. Because we know that Islam, submission to the will of the Creator, is in the Bible. You can see it. If you look back to the first man, Adam, he submitted to the will of God. He didn't submit to himself, to the creation, but he worshipped God. Jesus worshipped the Creator. He didn't call people to worship himself. He did Islam. He was a Muslim. Abraham was not a Jew or a Christian, but he was one who submitted to the will of God. He was a Muslim, one who submitted to the will of God. And you'll see that they were praying, and you'll see these pillars that we have, because some people think Islam is something that was brought by Muhammad. Weren't they fasting too? Weren't they doing
Absolutely.
These things? Can you emphasize on this a little bit?
Well, Islam, just to throw some basic rules here, the religion of Islam is made of belief system, the aqidah, the creed, then the rituals, then the character, you know, the manner.
Manners. Yeah.
The etiquettes of dealing with one another. And then comes in the sharia, the laws. The only thing that changes is the law.
Sharia. Yeah. Some people get scared right now. They think the boogeyman's coming to get them. Yeah. What? Just take a second. Sharia. Is that something? Is that like the Ten Commandments?
Yes. It's the divine law.
God's law.
Yeah,
that's
God
it.
Laws.
Obeying God.
Yes.
It's not like something to cut your head off.
No. And we believe Prophet Isa, Jesus will come back and implement the sharia.
Jesus came with sharia. I mean, Moses came with sharia.
And Isa Jesus confirming it.
He confirmed sharia. God's law.
And guess what?
The Creator's law.
He will come and implement the sharia of Muhammad.
That's amazing. See, when you have an open heart and open mind, these prejudices will go away. Yeah. Continue on.
So we go back with this. Sharia and transactions, mu'amalat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He stresses that all the messengers, they came to convey Islam. But with one mandate that they come with. لِكُلِّنْ جَعَلْنَا مِنْكُمْ شِرْعَةً وَمِنْهَاجَةً. But each messenger will come with some mandate to the laws to meet the challenges of the time. Because every messenger comes in a different time, in a different place. Mm-hmm. And the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is eternal. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about fasting in the Quran, He said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O ye who believe, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. Fasting is mandated obligatory upon you, like it was obligatory upon those who came before you.
This is the Creator speaking.
Yes.
You're quoting what? The verbatim word of God?
Surah Al-Baqarah, yes.
This is the Quran.
This is the Quran, the revelation. Now, that verse indicates that fasting was also mandated upon the people of the book before us, the Christian and the Jews who are known to us to be Muslims, the followers of the messengers at the time. Our messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, told us the best of fasting, خير الصيام, صيام داود. The best of fasting is the fasting of
David,
Prophet David. He used to fast one day and break fast another day. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam also told us, فصل صيامكم من صيام أهل الكتاب أكلة السحر. What distinguishes you from the fasting of the people of the book before you, that when you wake up for the early morning meal, which is sahur, that distinguishes us from their fasting. So all of these are evidence that they used to fast. So we're actually doing something that the nations before us used to do it, but with one important difference here, which we notice in our ibadah and our rituals, that we must be different in the way that we pray. And there is a little variation here and there that distinguishes the final message or the final mandate which came with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the previous. Because what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with abrogates whatever came before it.
So the original followers of Jesus, peace be upon him, the original followers of Moses that stuck to pure monotheism. They didn't worship God as a trinity, you know, a cow, you know, an intermediary between them and God, the creator. That goes with human nature. They were Muslims, because Muslim is one who submits to the will of God. Right. They were Muslims, you're telling me.
Absolutely.
And they fasted, prayed, worshiped. This is what we're talking about. This
Absolutely.
Is something foreign, that we some religion that came from Mars or something.
No.
This is from the creator.
It's Inna ad-deena 'inda Allah al-Islam. The religion of the side of Allah is al-Islam, has been al-Islam from day one. And whoever comes in the day of resurrection with other religion than al-Islam, it will not be accepted.
Submission to the will of God.
Yes.
It's there, isn't it? I mean, you talk to some creep. We always got to go to break, but hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy will, that means Islam.
Correct.
Your will means I'm going to do what you want me to do, God.
Absolutely.
Not follow my desires.
Absolutely. And that's what we're striving to do.
That's what we're striving to do.
Yes.
Amazing, amazing. We got to take a break. We're going to get into the fasting from A to Z with Sheikh Kareem here on the Deen Show. We'll be right back. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be with you. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. Welcome to the Deen Show. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be with you. Greetings of peace to everybody all around the globe that's tuning into the Deen Show.
This is the Deen Show. Show us the way to Allah's grace. This is the deen of Islam. This is the deen of Islam.
Back here on the Deen Show with Sheikh Kareem. Kareem, Sheikh, tell us. Now we're talking about the fast. In the introduction, we talked about the five pillars. We talked about that Islam is not a new way of life, a new religion. It's from the Creator. And Muhammad is just the last and final messenger. And Jesus worshiped God alone. He didn't call people to worship himself, nor did any of the other messengers. And they fasted too. They prayed and they fasted, right, to the Creator. So now, many new Muslims, people are accepting Islam. According to Guinness Book of World Records, the fastest growing religion in the world, right? And it's not just because Muslims are having more babies. Some people, it's because people are using their mind, and people who want the truth and they study, they'll see that if they take an analytical scientific approach, Islam is based on reason and it calls you to think and ponder. And when they think and ponder and reflect over the evidence, they come to the same conclusion as over 1.5 billion. This is from the Creator. So God is saying to fast. So we want to know, how is the fast? Some people say, okay, do I just give up, you know, some of the things that I love of food? Maybe I'll just drink some water during the day, smoke some cigarettes. You know what I mean? I've known people that they'll give up food and drink, but then they'll still smoke all day.
Have you know about this too?
They'll sit due to nicotine. That you violated your fast. Right?
Yes.
Talk to us about what you can and can't do.
Fasting in the technical term, like we mentioned in the first segment, is abstaining, imsak.
Abstaining
from eating, drinking, and all other things which are considered to be invalidators of fast according to the law of Islam, and your sexual desire, which is included in there, from dawn until sunset, with the intention of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So before the sun breaks?
Right.
What can you do now before then? Can you go ahead and get some food into your system? Talk to us from there, from the start.
Before the sunset?
Before the dawn breaks.
Before dawn.
Before Fajr.
You can eat, you can drink. Of course, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established for us the sunnah of having the early morning meal, which comes before Fajr, which we call Suhoor or Sahoor, both words are correct. And he actually said, Tasahharu fa inna fi sahuri baraka. Wake up and have that early morning meal because there is a blessing in it. And like I mentioned, it really distinguishes us from the fasting of the people of the book. The people of the book don't take that early morning meal. And it helps you throughout the day. Even if you wake up to take a drink, futur, adit is sufficient before dawn. Now, at dawn, the time of al-fajr, when the break of day and light, you know, when the khayt al-abyad wal khayt al-aswad, the white thread and the black thread are, you're able to distinguish them from one another, then you abstain. But now you must have formulated an intention before dawn, because intention is one of the pillars of fasting.
Intention,
having the intention. To the extent that scholars, some of the jurists actually, they say that, let's say that you're fasting, and in a way, you decided by intention to break your fast. Like, you know, you're getting, you cannot fast anymore, and in your heart, you said, you know what, as soon as I get to a restaurant, I'm going to eat. Let's say that you arrive at the restaurant and you change your mind. Your fasting is invalid because the intention is no longer there. Of course, there is, you know, a way to deal with that, but that person has to make up that day, and even so, he should not eat the rest of the day because he loved. So the intention, you must have the intention before dawn. Now, the scholars debated whether you need to have an intention for each single day or one intention is sufficient for the whole month of Ramadan. The consensus or the majority of the jurists, they say that an intention is necessary for each single day. And the intention is the thought. يعني,
just the thought.
How do they define intention? عَزْمُ الْقَلْبِ عَلَى فِعْلِ الشَّيْءِ. That in your heart, the fact that you broke your fast as you're eating, you're thinking about tomorrow is another day of Ramadan, that's already the
intention. Sufficient. So, yes. So you have the intention that I'm going to please my Creator, I'm fasting for Him. You got it. You can't like, okay, check, look at this, Shay. You can't now, or many people, they won't even pray. Let's say they let's say they'll get up and eat, but they gotta say, come on, let's go pray Fajr. Mm-hmm. They gotta look at you like you're crazy. You can't separate the two, right?
Well, we gotta look at this in a very smart way,
yeah.
In a very da'wah way. You see, fasting will come in your scale of hasanat in the day of resurrection. Mm-hmm. Abandoning your salah, if you're not doing it in a way that takes you out of the fold of Islam, then it comes in the scale of your sayyat, your bad deeds. In a way, out of the good da'wah, don't tell somebody because you're not praying, you cannot fast.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, please go ahead and fast. Mm-hmm. And if you can gradually get that person, I'm not judging the person now, but I'm trying to get him to be better, a better Muslim.
Yeah.
But if you tell him you're not praying, don't fast, you lost, you know. And
hopefully some will build
yes,
up that they'll start
yes,
praying.
Yes, yeah. And we know that when we repent, let's say that this person is going to repent in a year or two.
Yeah.
His fasting will be carried on. Allah will forgive him for abandoning the salah, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So that means we should not totally dismiss the person and turn him away. The fact that he's doing the fasting, alhamdulillah, this is good. You know, a lot of us are coming back from Jahiliyyah, A lot of Muslims are coming. They don't even know that abandoning the salah can take you out of the fold of Islam. So we need to deal with the people in a da'wah way, educate them and let them know and give them the opportunity. But yes, I mean, what you're saying is right. I mean, if you do not pray and then you're fasting, in fact, if you think about it, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that the first thing that you will be asked about in the day of resurrection is salah, al-hadith sahih.
Yeah.
And look at this now. If the salah is valid, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look at the rest of your deeds.
That's the number one thing now.
Yes.
Yeah.
And guess what? That number one thing is notarization for the rest of the deeds. That would include fasting. So technically what you're saying also is absolutely correct and right. That the fasting is no good if that person dies neglecting and abandoning the salah. But again, from a da'wah perspective, we got to look at it in a different way.
So being gentle and kind and loving with the people.
Yeah, absolutely.
So to give people kind of a timeline here, you wake up with the right intention right before Fajr breaks in, so you eat a little bit, and then you pray Fajr. And then your day goes on. Food, drink, relations with the wife.
No.
Someone says, look, there's a true story. The brother, you know, sent the woman to the store to get him some zabiya meat, you know, for the fast. He said, are you a Muslim? No, it's for my boyfriend.
A'udhu billah.
No, this wife, right? Mm-hmm. No boyfriend and girlfriend.
There is a story, I don't know of the time.
Go ahead, tell us.
Very quickly, a sister came last Ramadan to my mosque in Masjid in Abu Bakr in Colorado.
Yeah.
And guess she's a Muslim sister.
Yeah.
And she's marrying a non-Muslim. And guess what? She's coming to pay Zakatul Fitr. You know the Zakat that we pay at the end of the month for her and her husband.
Uh-huh.
Imagine this, she's a Muslim woman who is marrying, I mean, it's not really marriage in Islam because she's really committing adultery, but she's coming to pay Zakatul Fitr, the Zakat that the fasting people pay at the end of the $10, yani, I mean, should be going out in food.
Yeah.
But I ask her sister, subhanAllah, you're coming to do this, meanwhile here you are sleeping with a man, unlawfully, this man is not a Muslim. And she said, well, I want to fulfill the, you know. Yeah. And I told her, but this guy has to be Muslim for you to be married to him. You cannot imagine, Eddie, I just want to let you know, subhanAllah, this man, I sat with him and said, look at this woman, man. She cares so much about you. She's coming to pay Zakat al-Fitr for you. She want to save you. And here you are. You are the reason for her hell. What do you want me to do? Do you believe in one God? Yeah, I believe in one God. You believe that Muhammad is the Messiah? Yes. He actually accepted
Islam, took the
Shahada,
Mashallah.
And we got them married,
Mashallah.
Islamically. So, no, I just want to let you know this out of this world that, you know, yani, sometimes, I'm telling you, a lot of us are coming back from Jahili and a lot of Muslims. So, but look, clinging to one, this sister, I'm sure back home, I think she's from Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, one of these ex-Russian countries where they were really deprived from knowledge. But you know, something that clung, if this is the right verb.
One thing. Yeah.
Look, clung is Zakatul Fitr.
That
meanwhile, she's violating a whole, she's basically goes out of the fold of Islam, marrying non-Muslim. A Muslim woman cannot marry but a Muslim man. We know this for a fact. And any woman who does it goes out of the fold of Islam. If she knows it. Yani if she knows what she didn't know. But look, her clinging to that little thing got her, fixed.
Amazing.
You cannot imagine, she was so excited. She called her family back home. And that was an interesting story.
Amazing.
That was just last Ramadan.
And he submitted. That's a beautiful thing. He decided to worship the Creator, not his creation, became a Muslim.
Yeah, subhanAllah. Look at her, man, caring about you.
Yeah.
She believes that she should pay sadaqah for you so that you're in good health. And well, look at this woman. You know, according to her religion, which she is relying on to save you, you are the reason for her going to hell for eternity. Come on, man. I mean, you cannot be selfish. What do you want to do? Do you believe in one God? And then I explain to him who Allah is. Are you willing to submit? I mean, I know that you may not be able to completely apply everything and implement everything, but are you willing, please? Are you willing? Just the will, the intention. He said, yes, I am. And he took his shahada, and we got them married.
Islam is the natural way. It makes sense. It makes sense when it's explained. And we'll be right back with more to make sense of it more here on the Deen Show. It's simple to understand. Islam means submission. Look at the word. Submission not to yourself, not to your desires, not to anyone or anything.
Because at the end of the day, you get something, you always want more. You get some weed, you want more. You get some drugs, you want harder drugs. You get a girl, you want a nicer girl. You get a car, you want a nicer car. You get a house, you want a nicer house.
We've got so many pressures by enslaving yourself, worshiping God, loving God.
But submission to the one who created you.
And by worshiping God and seeking His pleasure, you get pleased and you enter paradise. God bless you.
Back here on the Deen Show with Sheikh Kareem, and we're talking about one of the pillars of Islam, the way of life of all the messengers of God. Jesus did Islam, Abraham did Islam, all the messengers of the Creator, our Maker, the Maker of this whole universe and everything in it. This is the natural way. Worship the Creator, not His creation. They all prayed to God. They gave charity in God's name. to the poor. They fasted so they can build this God consciousness. And you talked about the fasting, you know, it being a time now that you're developing the spiritual side. It's like a training for your soul.
Right.
And we don't want to miss out on it. So we want to do it the right way. You get up in the morning, and now we talked about having the right intention, eating a little bit, praying the Fajr, praying the rest of the prayers, right? That was one. We got four more. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, what it's really simple. You can't eat food or drink, relations with your wife, no boyfriend, girlfriends in Islam. And what else can you and can't do? What else is there? Is there anything else?
Well, I think there is a big piece about fasting, which is having a good character.
Good character. Oh, yeah, that's really important. That is, can be cursing.
Absolutely.
Lying.
That is where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the hadith, رُبَّ صَائِمْ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوعُ وَالْعَطَشُ وَرُبَّ قَائِمْ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ قِيَامِهِ إِلَّا التَّعَبُ وَالسَّهَرُ. It may be somebody who fasts and all what he gets out of his fasting is a character, hunger and thirst. And maybe somebody who prays tahajjud every night or qiyam every night and all what he gets is tiresome.
Backbiting all day and you're fasting.
Why? Because he wasted even if you're attacked as a fasting person, look at the hadith Abi Hurairah, al-hadith al-matla'ahu ilahi, kullu amal ibn Adam la illa sawm fa'innahu liwa na'izzibi. The Prophet says, even if somebody fights you, if somebody acts with you in an ignorant way, yells at you, tell him I'm fasting.
So don't argue back.
No.
So I mean, you shouldn't be doing this anyway. Cursing, right. The tongue that, you know, praises Allah shouldn't be cursing with this tongue, right?
You know, I always take this back to how we need to educate about ourselves, about our deen. You know, the culture where we were brought up, a person in Ramadan would get so upset and mad. Akhi, I'm fasting. You know, he yells at you and he's so mad. And when you ask him the reason why, he said, I'm sorry, I'm fasting. Because you're fasting, you're not supposed to do that. No, he is actually using fasting as an excuse to do that. Fasting, again, like I said, is getting a handle on yourself, controlling your tongue. Listen, three things that you must pay attention to. إِذَا عَمِلْتَ عَمَلًا. Then when you do anything, when you look, when you act, then remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you. فَرْقُ بْنَظَرَ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكَ. وَإِذَا قُلْتَ قَوْلًا. When you use the tongue, remember Allah hears you. Look at this now. This is the area where you really excel with your fasting. And when you think about something in your chest, remember Allah knows what you're thinking about. If you manage to defeat these three areas and purify them, purify your act, that when you do something, remember that Allah is looking at you when you do it, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. When you speak, remember the words will be heard by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So watch. And even when you think, because here in America and Ramadan is coming in the summer this year, as you know, and you know what people do here in the summer. It's crazy. You take your eye, they're just coming in the airport, man. You can take your eye off this, you go land, everything is a first look now. It's crazy. You can't even, sometimes you're just wishing to be blind or something. But in a way, guard your chest. Guard your chest. That's what you need to do in order to win the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So abstaining from food, but all these other, you should come out of Ramadan with a better character. You can't be watching pornography, killing time, as they say, backbiting, doing these evil things that even if it was a Ramadan, especially Ramadan now, but you should be away from this totally.
Let me remind the viewers in closing, and I know you have to close the episode here, is remember this, dear viewers, brothers and sisters in Islam, Jibreel alayhi salam, the trustworthy of the heavens, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the trustworthy of earth, they made dua against a person who gets to live through Ramadan and he comes out of it unforgiven. A famous hadith, hadith Jibreel, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said Ameen, Ameen three times, hadith fi sunan al-Tirmidhi, hadith Abi Hurairah. Then later he explained and he said, Jibreel made dua, a loser. May he lose someone whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him the opportunity to live through Ramadan and he comes out of it unforgiven. And I said ameen to this. Brothers, we all seekers of forgiveness, don't waste the opportunity.
People can see you at Let's Talk About It.
Yeah, Let's Talk About It and Goddess TV.
And Goddess TV.
Every day, actually, we come in Ramadan, answer questions, www.goddesstv.tv and IslamQ&A.tv too. Two channels now.
Okay, so people can look you up there. Sheikh, thank you very much. May the Creator of the heavens and earth reward you for being with us and helping educate the people. Thank you. And thank you for tuning in for another episode of the Deen Show, Ramadan. And you heard the Sheikh say it, that look, at the end, we don't want to be losers. We want to be winners because this life is short. Day of judgment is close, and we're going to be judged for everything we did in this life. This life is a test. We're going to die. And then at the end, hellfire or paradise, Ramadan is here. And we all have things that we can improve on. Make sure that we're committed to praying five times a day minimum. Modesty is something that's so important in Islam. We have to work on that for many of our sisters and the brothers. Character, development, all of us need a dose of that. Language should be watched what we say. Not just abstaining from food, but all of these different curse words are coming out of their mouth. Everything in Islam makes sense and is telling us to be the best human beings that we can be, because our Creator, our Maker, that's what He wants from us, so we can be the best in this life and have the best in the hereafter. And if you want to learn more, call us at 1-800-662-ISLAM. Remember, this month is the month of the Quran, so connect with your Creator through the Quran. Learn, acquire knowledge, so you can have peace, peace with your Creator, peace within yourself, and then you'll be committed to serving your Creator in the best way, so you can get the best place, paradise. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you.
Growing up in America, Eddie lived the American dream. He achieved it all before the age of 30. Money, cars, women. But beneath the surface, something didn't feel right. After achieving everything he ever desired, Eddie turned his back and walked away from it all and took his life in a whole new direction. Let us take you on his journey.